Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to start out with our article reviews on video games with a heavy hitter.
Yep.
From NPR. And this was published just earlier this month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As it turns out.
And it's entitled, Video Games May Affect the Brain Differently Depending on What You Play.
Right.
And this is some interesting research that they present here, starting out from, like, not just too shabby of research journal periodicals, Molecular Psychiatry.
Right. So this is serious research.
This is serious research.
And we're glad to see it because we've often asked this question.
Right.
I wonder if the kind of video game you play makes a difference. There was much discussion a few years ago about a Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Okay. And how violent and vile and all that. Does it make a difference if you're playing something like that versus something like Mario Brothers or Tetris or one of these other puzzle games?
Right.
So we're glad to see this kind of research being conducted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, that was sort of the nature of the research or some of the research, because they present a few different studies.
Right.
But the idea is, do especially first-person shooters, do they
First-person shooter is the player can shoot the person playing the game can shoot figures in the game.
You're seeing it through the eyes of the character in the video game.
And I interrupt you periodically because you have to understand that a lot of us don't know this. You say first-person shooter like everybody knows what that is. There's a lot of us out here who don't know what that is.
Yeah. So
I have to go to bat for my peers.
I hear you.
Okay.
So first-person shooters is like you're seeing it through the perspective of... You're in first person.
Right.
So you're in the perspective of of the character in the... Your avatar in the game.
Avatar.
It's a great James Cameron movie.
I know, but... first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm. So you have games like that include
such as
Halo, Call of Duty.
Okay.
Those kinds of games. So the idea is because what those games do is they put you sort of in the actual action.
Okay.
You're the one, you know, you're holding the gun out. You're engaging in the action directly, or sort of as directly as you can virtually there.
Right.
But as opposed to games like the old style, like
Pac-Man.
Scroll games.
Scroll games?
They're like scrolling games where you're moving across the screen. You mentioned Mario Brothers. In Mario Brothers, you were Mario going across the screen and you would jump and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't seeing the world from Mario's perspective.
I see. Okay.
So
that's
a little
scroll
bit
game.
Different. Yeah, you would scroll across the screen.
We're doing this week.
Yeah, so... I'll create
a flow chart
for you.
Okay. I need a, what do they call that? A word bank. In school, we call it a word bank. I need a word bank for this.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Okay. Drag me along.
So, again, the idea of this research is, do those kinds of games, those first-person shooter action type games, does your brain respond differently to those than other games?
Okay. That's the important question.
Right.
Okay.
And
I didn't know the vocabulary.
Right.
But I'm interested in the concept.
Right. Mm-hmm. And from the perspective of this research, maybe it does, in some ways. I think that there's still a lot of questions left to be asked. But in sometimes some of the research suggests that maybe it does.
You know, some time ago, it must have been about 6 months ago, one of our listeners mentioned this notion of video games.
You know,
do they? And I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know what triggered her question. But she posed that question to us. She said, "Are video games the cause of some of this violence that we see in school children?" I think was what her question was. So this speaks to that issue.
It does, and
It doesn't at the same time.
Okay.
Because there are some indications that perhaps it affects or has different effects on this particular structure of the brain called the hippocampus. All right? So this is...
So that's the area that they studied or they located?
That's the area that they studied. Okay. So... So it was talking here, so this is a line from the article. It says, that part of the brain is associated... Well, it was talking about the hippocampus, and it says, that part of the brain is associated with spatial navigation, stress regulation, and memory. Playing Super Mario games in which the noble plumber strives to rescue a princess, so we're...
Yeah, the noble plumbers.
Had the opposite effect on the hippocampus, causing growth in it.
And so playing a scroll game...
Right.
Resulted in growth of the hippocampus.
Correct.
More neurons or more denser.
It's not so much.
Not more neurons.
Not necessarily because it's a scroll game. It's because it's a different the strategy and the process of the game is different. And so as the study goes on, as they talk about different things in the article, what they kind of point out is that the responsibility of the gamer in the game,
the person playing,
it has something to say about the effects that it has on the brain. So if this is, for lack of a better word, a mindless game that's just whatever comes up on the screen, you're just shooting it. You know, there's not a lot of memory involved. There's not a lot of those kinds of things involved, and so. Mm-hmm. That seems to have one impact on the brain.
Oh, because it's a constantly changing scene.
Correct.
So you're not expected to remember anything.
Correct.
Okay, and the hippocampus is involved in memory.
Right.
So there's no growth.
Right.
Development of the hippocampus.
Right. Okay. Whereas games like some of the Mario games, since that's what they used, it's rote, meaning that it's the same every time. And so when you're going through, when I used to play, Super Mario Brothers, when you first start off level one, you're going, and as you're going within, by the time you get to the next sort of screen, there's four bricks up top. The third one is a question mark, and there's two mushroom guys coming out that's going to come out after you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be that same way every time. And when you hit that question mark, it's going to be a mushroom that comes out to.
So the game prompts you to remember this.
Right.
Okay.
Other games, and games that honestly tend to get more... tend to get better reviews and tend to attract more people are games that change every time.
That don't have that memory component.
Right, because it's more lifelike, it's more interactive. Mm-hmm. There may be somebody coming from this direction this time and that direction the next time.
Right.
And so you're not relying as much on memory as you are on other aspects mm-hmm. of your right. brain.
Okay.
And makes that sense. Seems to be related.
Okay.
And so in that sense, these gaming does have an effect on your brain, but it's my opinion, and this isn't necessarily where they were saying as specifically as I will. In that sense, it's just like every other activity.
Right.
What you're doing repeatedly is what gets reinforced in your brain.
Okay, what you make your brain do is what it gets good at.
Right.
So it's not that the first-person shooter games are bad for your brain.
Right.
It's just that they don't have the same effect,
right.
positive effect, as games that require you to remember. So it's not the here's what it is. It's not the content of the game. It's the activity that it produces.
Right.
Okay.
I for the most part.
At least for this study,
right.
what they're saying is it has nothing to do with the content.
Right.
It's what the game expects of you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So there's some games that improve your visual short-term memory right. and hand-eye coordination. Perfect. Mm-hmm. There's others that are going to improve your memory, right. have an effect on that. But where this really comes down is people talk about the idea of video games creating apathy and creating desensitizing right. to violence and those kinds of things. I'm a little bit torn there, because you and I were having this discussion the other day that our human nature typically human nature, typical human nature that is based on, you know, for lack of a better word, normal people. Because mm-hmm. there are people who right. have pathologies that take this away. Mm-hmm. We don't really want to hurt other people.
Right.
You know,
right.
for the most part. Mm-hmm. So when you're engaging in a video game that has you hurting other people and it becomes so lifelike that it looks like you're mm-hmm. actually hurting other people, there could potentially be some desensitization there. That said, I have not yet seen any indication to suggest that that increases the likelihood that somebody's going to act out aggressively. Just because mm-hmm. you've become a little bit more desensitized does not necessarily mean that it's going to lead to you being more violent.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. But some people, it may.
Mm-hmm. But those people tend to be people who would likely engage in those actions anyways.
Anyway, right.
Right.
That's what we don't know.
Right.
Is it, take away the video games, this person may still have become violent.
Right.
Okay. So it's very hard to say it was the video game.
Right.
And
this
brings us to, you know, all these school shooters.
Right.
And it's the first question, you know,
right.
were they playing violent video games?
Right.
Not sure it's the content of the video game.
And
is the culprit.
Right. And if we want to find some evidence for this,
mm-hmm.
just look at numbers, okay? Millions.
That's right.
Millions if not
boys.
Billions,
right.
of people are playing these same games every day.
That's true. When you think of, they do play these in China.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about 50 million school-age children in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many more than that in China.
Right.
And so when you put all those numbers together, you aggregate all mm-hmm. the European children, all the Asian children, all the American children. It's a tiny fraction who
right.
are expressing violence.
Very, very tiny fraction
okay.
that are really expressing violence. And that fraction isn't that dissimilar from the percentage that it was
right.
before we had video games like this.
That's right. That's right.
So to say that it increases violence, to say it is really a very simplified and a simplified attempt to create or examine causation.
Right.
Playing violent video games does not cause somebody, does not make somebody more aggressive necessarily than they would be otherwise.
Playing violent video games in and of itself
right.
doesn't
right.
do that. You know?
Right.
Combine it with some other variables.
Sure.
And you might. But
right.
in and of itself, there's very little evidence to
right.
suggest, very little to no evidence to suggest that the content of the game
right.
creates a more
right.
creates a more violent individual.
Right.
Regardless of the intuitive appeal of that
right.
argument,
right.
it seems like it should and it seems like it does.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't it in hundreds of millions of children?
Right.
Right.
And the thing that we have to remember is that people who are inherently violent,
people who are inherently more physically aggressive.
Right.
Okay, and that's fair.
Right. Are going to be attracted to those video games.
Right.
Because they're more stimulating, because
right.
they allow them to act out some mm-hmm. of that aggression and frustration. And so, yes, people who have that sort of intrinsic drive to be more aggressive are going to play those video games, and they're going to listen to aggressive music
right.
and loud and fast and those kinds of things. But that doesn't mean that causation goes
right.
the other direction.
Right. And the other thing to remember is that think of kids playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
Most
mm-hmm.
kids will play youth sports through high school. Okay. They'll play youth sports, never have an explosive outburst,
right.
never. But there's a handful of children
mm-hmm.
for whom competition
mm-hmm.
is highly arousing, and they lose control.
Mm-hmm.
They lose emotional control because of the competition.
Right.
Okay?
Well, you know, a perfect example of this, taking it completely away from anything physical, is we reviewed the movie last week of
True.
Person Being a Wallflower.
Right.
In that film, we met a girl who sat next to the main character, Charlie.
Right.
And every time Charlie got an answer right or said that he was going to read, you know, for
okay.
fun, she was making snide comments. She
yeah.
was engaging in verbal aggression, and even at one point had some other students beat him up because of his just who he is and his you know, studiousness. And so, again, competition.
Because he was competition to her. She had been the straight A student.
She had been straight A's since kindergarten, is what he said.
Until he entered.
And so, again, here we have a person who is engaging in aggressive behavior. We have no indication of her playing athletics, no indication of her playing video games, nothing. All it is that level of competition. And so, I think we just have to be cautious not to clump all this stuff together and say, well, you know, these guys had this in common, so it must be this, you know, these video games or music or movies that caused this behavior.
Now, that's a good music, because music has been accused. We've made the same accusation with music, that certain kinds of music drives individuals to become more violent or more aggressive. There's no evidence that it does. So video games are the same. It's not the video game. It's not the it's not even the content of the video game that does it. It's the video game in combination with other factors.
And so I do encourage you to read this article from NPR. The link's in the show notes. It is really good. There's a lot more to it. And and they talk about some different things that maybe we agree with or disagree with. Who knows? But The studies that they talk about, you really need to look at. I mean, there's some that talk about, you know, spending an average of 19 hours of video games a week. That's a lot of video games. And, you know, we talked about having, in yesterday's podcast, we talked about having between 15 and 20 hours of free time a week.
Right.
Spending all of that time on video games is a problem. That's no matter who you are, no matter what game you're playing, that's a problem. Right. So, you know, you got to keep some of that in mind when you're looking at some of these studies and thinking about some of this. Not that the studies are wrong, but it's you got to think about the population that they're studying. Anything else that you want to mention?
No, I'll leave it for another time.
All right, then.
I'll leave it for another time.
Okay. All right, so that is it for today. We've got a lot more to talk about this week.
We do.
All of these can just go on forever. So
until
next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.